Welcome everyone to day two of How to Start a Podcast Live and our first live stream session of the day, promoting your podcast with Hala Taha of the Young and Profiting Podcast and Katie Kremitzos of the Women's Meditation Network, as they get into how to effectively promote your podcast and what podcast promotion actually gets you results. Get ready for this discussion on how to promote your podcast and how they both created successful podcast businesses. For those of you who may be joining us for the first time, How to Start a Podcast Live is a live streamed event with sessions just like this one, featuring top podcasters and podcasting experts from around the world. Today, here on our live stream platform, Podbean Live, as we dive into production, promotion, editing, audience growth, live streaming, and more. You can replay any of the panels on the How to Start a Podcast Live podcast channel and download the Podbean app and follow the channel to receive notifications in real time about all the live streams and replays from the week. Feel free to post any questions for our experts during the session in the chat box of our live stream. We do ask that you keep it on topic for the session. And if you have any questions about the team at Podbean or about the platform, send those by email to support@podbean.com. How to Start a Podcast Live is brought to you by Podbean. We're a podcast hosting and monetization platform and home to over 500,000 podcasts. And you can easily start a podcast at podbean.com or from our app here within minutes. We offer something for every podcaster and show, with options ranging from a free account to multiple show podcast creation, multiple show podcast hosting, to our enterprise platform for business, various podcast creation, monetization, and engagement tools. Head over to podbean.com to start your podcast today, and if you use the code PODNOW, you'll get your first 30 days free. That's PODNOW to get your first 30 days of hosting for free. If you haven't registered yet, you'll want to make sure you do at podcastweek.live/start. That's podcastweek.live/start. As we've teamed up with our friends at Shure, and we'll be giving away a Shure MV7 microphone to one of our registered attendees on our last session of the weekend, live streaming your podcast tomorrow, Saturday, at 5 p.m. Eastern time. And now we're going to hand it off to Hala Taha and Katie Kremitzos as they dive into promoting your podcast. Hello and welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Awesome. So can't wait to get started. Let's definitely make this an interactive session. So everybody who's tuning in, tell us where you're listening from. Drop it in the chat. If you guys have any questions, make sure you shout it out. And Katie, why don't we start with some introductions? Okay. I'd love to hear about you, your career journey, how you got into podcasting.
Yeah, perfect. That'll kind of set the stage for why in the world we're even giving some of these suggestions and ideas and strategies, mostly because in our podcasting journeys, we have tried them all. So I have been a podcaster since 2014, which I don't think doesn't make me like a grandmother of podcasting, but more like a godmother probably. It's definitely been a while. Back then, I started with a podcast called Biz Women Rock. It was a very niche and special interview podcast for women entrepreneurs, created by a woman entrepreneur, and it supported a very successful business strategy and coaching business model for me. So the podcast itself was the biggest marketing arm of that business. And I ran that podcast and that business for about 6 years. And just to briefly tell the journey, back in 2018, at the beginning of 2018, that was all going very well. Everything was growing. I was on slate to like triple business and listenership that year. And then April came, I found out I was pregnant with my second daughter, and in an instant, everything changed, and all of a sudden, I just knew I didn't want what I had. So it took a little bit of time of being silent with myself and going on a lot of walks with my husband to really kind of, you know, dig deep in and say, what do I now want? Even though this podcast and this business have been my life for all of these years, and I've loved it, it's not for me anymore, and I just sort of knew that. So what came out of that whole time period was the idea, the seed of an idea called the Women's Meditation Network. I myself have just always been a meditator. I have been a practitioner of meditation. I have never been certified in meditation. There's not one particular school of meditation that I, you know, have followed per se, but I just knew it was a powerful tool for me. And one that I thought, like, hey, this could be, you know, a podcast could be a really powerful way to share meditations. And I had always been really passionate about women and uplifting women and being able to really empower and speak to and with women. And so, so I launched the Women's Meditation Network back in 2018. First with one show, the original show called Meditation for Women. And over these past 3 years, that one show has turned into four shows that are now under the network. So in addition to the original, I now have Sleep Meditation for Women, Morning Meditation for Women, and Sleep Sounds for Women. And my journey within the podcasting, and I have since let go of that prior Biz Women Rock podcast and business. So my podcasting journey has been a very unique in the sense that I have sort of had that, I think, very common business model of a podcast feeding a very service-based business. Now my business model with the podcast is definitely a more of a network model with advertising, more of an advertising setup, and a lot of other creative ways to be able to support the show and support the network and support my listeners. So that is the overview.
Cool. And just to introduce myself to everybody, my name is Hala. I'm the host of Young and Profiting Podcast. We're number one education podcast across all apps. Katie, I'm not sure if she mentioned, she has millions of downloads for her podcast. So she runs really, really successful shows, knows how to grow a show. I started my podcast 3 years ago as a side hustle while I was working corporate marketing. I started my career in radio, but didn't make it in radio, essentially got rejected by radio. And then when I was in my corporate career, I decided, you know what, I want to give this a shot. And I started Young and Profiting Podcast. So I ended up growing a huge LinkedIn following, and I became one of the biggest influencers on LinkedIn. And grew my podcast, started a team of volunteers by episode 2 who are all helping me build this podcast, who are behind the movement of Young and Profiting. And then 2 years into it, I started Yap Media, which is a full service marketing and podcast production agency. And that blew up very quickly. At the same time, I started to learn more about media buying and really understanding how to leverage social media in the right way to convert to downloads and listeners. And my podcast blew up. And I ended up getting on the cover of Podcast Magazine. I've interviewed people like Matthew McConaughey, Seth Godin, Mark Manson, you know, continuously recognized as an up-and-coming podcaster in this space. So just really excited. I love podcasting. I feel like I know everything about it. It's truly my passion. And so really just excited to share with you guys everything that we've learned and help you guys grow your show too. So with that, maybe I can start off with some context in terms of the podcast landscape, so that you can understand what's going on right now and how you guys need to be thinking in terms of promoting your show. So Katie, are you cool with me just battling off some stats? Okay,
take
cool.
Take it, girl.
Okay. So podcast adoption is growing super fast, right? So this is all great news. Listeners have grown 37.5% in the past 3 years. There's 16 million people across the U.S. who are quote unquote avid podcast fans, and 75% of the U.S. population is familiar with the term podcasting. So this sounds like great news, and it should be that, you know, you put your podcast out there and you get thousands of downloads, but we all know this is not true. And so you need to look at it from the other side, and you need to realize that there is still a long way to go. We're maturing, but still a third of Americans only listen to podcasts weekly. That means that more than half of people don't, right? 25% of the people don't know what a podcast is, and 45% of the US population has never even listened to a podcast. So there's a lot of people who don't even like audio content, who prefer to watch videos, to read text, who won't even log onto a podcast app. They know about podcasting, but they just don't want to listen, right? And so for me, I had an aha moment for 2 years. I feel like I was making good progress, but I wasn't moving the needle in terms of the downloads of my podcast. I was blowing up my social media, but my podcast, which was like the long form of all my content, and for me, like my guiding light, wasn't really getting as much traction as I wanted it to. So I realized that it's because my most of my audience don't listen to podcasts, and I'm trying to advertise them a format that they might not actually want to listen to, or they might not be educated about, where it's really hard to both educate people on the technology and have to convince them to listen to a podcast. So I was thinking, how can I reduce friction when it comes to promotion? How can I reach out to podcast listeners more directly? And the answer really was media buying and teaming up with different apps to get featured in app. And the reason behind this is because 40% of people, when they're going to look for a podcast, they're not finding you on social media. They're not finding you on Google. They're finding you within the podcast app. They're searching for you within the podcast app. They're finding you from the banners or the featured podcasts in the category that they're interested in. And so you need to make sure you're very visible inside the apps. So long story short, how I leverage this, and we can get into the nitty-gritty, and I'll pass it over to Katie for some of her insight, is that I decided that I was going to leverage my LinkedIn following. I had, maybe at the time, this was about a year ago or so, I had probably like 60,000 followers on LinkedIn at the time. And so I thought, okay, well, I've got this big community of people on LinkedIn. I'm going to reach out to all these different apps and I'm going to say, I'll do a contest for you. I didn't have a budget at the time. I was working corporate. I wasn't making a whole ton of money off my podcast. So I was like, I'll trade with you. I'll put up a post in return for you guys putting me as a featured podcast in your app for a week. And so I did this with so many different apps, even Podbean, which we're doing this live stream today. That's how I have such a great relationship with them. And all of a sudden, my podcast blew up, and the amount of downloads that I was getting in a month, I started to get in a day. And it was just insane, like the success rate. And so I think just switching your mindset and understanding that most people are going to find you within the podcast apps themselves. And whatever you can do to rank, to become more visible in those apps, that's what's going to really help you drive more listeners and downloads. So Katie, I'd love to hear your thoughts on media buying, and let's dig into this a bit.
Yeah. So I want to, so there was a question in here about how do you actually become featured on the podcast app? I want to kind of open up this box called, you know, be where they already are, where you're not needing to educate somebody about a podcast. Like, they're already podcast listeners. They're already opening up in their app. So there's a lot of different strategies and ways that you can go about getting featured and getting visibility within a podcast app. So, Hala just referred to one really great way, saying, hey, you know, finding a contact at whatever app saying, hey, I will feature your app. Can I be featured here? So, you know, I think that most every single app has some sort of a contact person. Apple Podcasts even has this, although it takes some digging to find it, but like every single app has some sort of procedure or opportunity to get featured. Some of them are hard to find, but if you can at least start practicing the art of reaching out and saying, hey, like, you know, a lot of the podcast apps are very interested in like, hey, will you share about our podcast app on your podcast possibly? Like, hey, could you say like, hey, if you guys haven't tried, like check out the Podbean app. If that's where you're listening from, you know, let me know that you're listening there, whatever it is. So there's a lot of sort of like value exchange that you could do there as far as, you know, being able to find ways to, without paying for a feature, to be able to say, hey, is there features? A lot of the apps have some sort of like staff picks or, you know, monthly themes or all those sorts of things that you could start reaching out for and just getting to know a little bit more to see it, where you can add value and make a fit. And then think about what you could do for that podcast app in exchange. And then, you know, the other side of it is, the other side of the non-paid is being able to be within the algorithm. And that's a little bit more tricky. Hala, I don't know if you can speak to this, but, you know, within, I don't know what the, you know, perfect answer for this algorithm is, but I know within Apple Podcasts, the more ratings and reviews you have and the more frequently you get them, the better you are, the more visible you are within that app. And so every app has sort of their algorithm of, of how and why they're featuring certain podcasts. Some of that has to do with what I like to call in-app SEO. Like, how are you labeling and titling your podcast episodes? What's the title of your podcast itself? Like, you know, not any one of these things is the answer, but all of these things are worth looking into to see about what you could do raising visibility within the app. Then there's the paid side. And that is, that to me, I want to, if there is any sort of blocks here, I really want to speak very openly about it. I happily pay for billboards, what I consider billboards within these apps. And I know Hala does too. That's how, what she's referring to is ad buying. So what Hala and I do individually is we say, hey, there are, you know, anytime you go into an app, there's, you know, that top banner that scrolls with however many featured podcasts. I want to be on that banner. I'm a mother of two very young kids. I am 80% mom, you know, then the other 20% of my time is, you know, managing my business and growing my business. And so I am less willing to spend time and more willing to spend money to be able to put my billboard in front of people and potential listeners who could really get value out of it. So there's that whole ad buying part, which is, hey, just about every single app you can say, hey, what are your rates? And my personal experience with this, just to kind of, you know, draw the line through here, is last year, about a year and a half ago, I put out a survey to my listeners and one of the questions was, how did you find out about me? And it was like 75% of them found out about me from like keywords in the app, right? Or like they were already in the app and they found keywords in the app. And they looked up meditation or they looked up, you know, something related. And that was enough to me to say like, oh, okay, I need to be more in the app. Like I need to put a little bit more attention on how I'm coming up in the app. So that's when I started reaching out to see if I could get featured. If there was any sort of like, you know, non-paid way at first, I didn't have, you know, hardly any budget at first. Okay, how can I be featured? So I started reaching out to some of the apps. Little by little, I was like, okay, I was featured here in the staff picks. And, you know, one case study in particular with one of the apps, I noticed, you know, I would, you know, take a screenshot of whatever my stats were for that particular app on day one. And then, you know, 3 weeks into being featured in their staff picks, I noticed a huge uptick, like almost like a 300% increase in the downloads for that particular app. So I was like, well, obviously being featured works. Now I'm willing to put money into it. How can I get, what kind of options do I have here? And I started just doing like $75 ads, $100 ads, you know, a $200 ad. And soon, little by little, it got, you know, what I do love about paid advertising within apps is that there are very real metrics, like X amount of dollars gets X amount of, you know, subscribers and X amount of downloads. And so it starts making really easy sense to do ad buying when you're talking about a budget, no matter how small that budget is.
Yeah. And there's great information, Katie. Loved everything that you said. There's some other things that I want to kind of add some more color to. So we brought up podcast SEO. And I think what you found in terms of most of your listeners saying they found you in the app, that goes along with all the data that I've saw. Yep. That says that people are finding podcasts in the app, not on social, not on Google. They're finding you in the app. So in terms of SEO, some quick tips to make sure that you're ranking, you're searchable. For SEO specifically, making sure that you have a keyword in your podcast title. One of my biggest regrets is that Young and Profiting Podcasts didn't have like entrepreneur or, you know, hustle or something like that in the title that a lot of people search very often. I think that it was really tough for me to grow my show because I didn't have a keyword in my title. The other thing is that you want to make sure that your description has the same keyword that's in your title. And you want to make sure that that keyword that you're trying to optimize for, or long tail keyword, which means one or two keywords that are kind of attached to each other, is included all throughout your podcast titles, for your episodes, all your descriptions. And you want to make sure that you have like four or five long tail keywords that are all peppered throughout all of your content that you can possibly write for your podcast that is included in the app. So that way when people search, you know, business leadership, your podcast will pop up if it's about business leadership. So I think that's really, really important. And some people kind of skip over making sure that keywords are in their titles and everything like that. But it's really important because, as we said, most people are going to find you in the app. Then in terms of ranking, again, reviews are really important. And also the number of downloads that you get in about a 14-day span is typically what these apps are looking at in terms of ranking your podcast. And most of these rankings are based on trending numbers. So not necessarily how many unique listeners you're getting at a time, but oftentimes you're ranked by how like the difference and how fast your podcast is growing. So basically your goal is to try to get as much downloads as possible within the 2-week period, like within 2 weeks. And so, that's one way that you guys can start to rank, and media buying is really effective for that because you'll get an influx of subscribers and reviews and downloads when you know that your podcast is getting advertised in front of a lot of podcast listeners and they're likely to convert. So I think those are all great tips. The other thing that we didn't talk about yet is podcast reads. Mm-hmm. So another way to get visibility in the app is to actually swap commercials or buy host-read commercials on other podcasts. And so you can do this on platforms like Podbean. They have their advertising marketplace, and you can essentially pick podcasts that you want to advertise on, create an audio commercial, and basically ask those podcasts if they're willing to participate in a campaign, and then advertise on other podcasts that are in your niche. You can even geo-target if you want specific locations, and if you're targeting specific locations with their marketplace. And there's lots of platforms that can do this. AdvertiseCast, Podcorn. But if you're using Podbean, it makes sense to use your hosting provider. So that's one way that you can reach out to people. Katie, anything else in terms of in-app opportunities that you want to talk about?
Not that I can think of. I think we covered it pretty well. But just I think it's very important, and I think it's really interesting that this is sort of the first and bigger, you know, thing that we were talking about, because even, you know, a year ago, I don't think that most of us were giving any attention to it. So, you know, in Hala's words, like, how can you reduce the friction between, you know, sharing your show and somebody actually listening to it and subscribing to it? And it's, you know, go get in front of the traffic that is already there, already on the highway.
Exactly. Exactly. And the other thing is that advertising on other podcasts really does work, especially if they're in your niche, because people are typically listening to 7 shows. They're not just listening to one podcast. And so your goal is to try to get in their rotation and become one of the 7 podcasts that they're listening to. And if you don't have a budget, this is a really great way to use your networking skills and start a community where basically you go out and you search for podcasts that are in your niche that have download stats that are a little higher or a little lower than you. And you reach out to them and say, hey, like, I would love to start a commercial swap with you where every week I promote you, you promote me. And we just do this until we feel that it's not mutually beneficial anymore. And start to do a lot of those things. And it's a really quick way to leverage other people's audiences and start to build a community too, because podcasters are really collaborative and are happy to support each other. And I found that one of the best ways to get ahead is to actually team up with other podcasters and help each other.
Yes, yes. And I'll just give voice to that when, I refer to these as promo swaps. Like, you know, in the very beginning of my Women's Meditation Network journey, I was I was a year into it or so to where like the numbers were good and, you know, definitely higher than anything I had been used to before in the previous podcast that I had. And, you know, it was about this time last year, and I ended up doing promo swaps with 2 different people who had behemoth shows comparatively to mine. But they were very complimentary. Our audiences were very complimentary of each other. I was excited and happy to share about those other podcasts with my audience and vice versa. And there was a difference in like the size, let's say. But the way that we were able to work that out is I said, okay, you know, very logistically, we're going to promo swap X amount of downloads. How long would that take for your show to get? How long would that take for my show to get? Okay, it might take you 2 weeks for me to promo it on my show, where it might take you 2 days, but we're going to do that, right? So this is really just where leading with the relationships and the good intentions of really wanting to share really come to a fold. So I'm a big believer in this.
Yes, I totally agree. I think those are all great points. So let's take a pause because there's lots of questions and I want to make sure that we are answering some of these. So Hush Hush asks, what were some of the apps that featured you? I was featured on Podbean, CastBox, Podcast Republic, Good Pods, Podyssey, Podcorn. Some of these are players. Some of these are just like app, like podcast social media apps. Overcast. Mm-hmm. Katie, is there any that you can, Pocket Cast has opportunities?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of them. But I think some of those first ones that I had reached out to was CastBox, Podbean. Overcast was the first one that I actually paid for ads on. And those were like those $75 ads, $150 ads. So they were great learning grounds to learn about what, yep, you know, a paid advertisement can do. I think you could do a search for like podcast apps. And once you start seeing them, it won't take long for you to see like, okay, how can I get featured here? How can I get featured here? Who's the person that I would reach out to say like, hey, like, you know, I have, and the approach that I took to it in the ask was like, hey, I have a lot of listeners who are listening on your app. I would love to have more of my listeners listening on your app. Is there a way to get featured on your app? And I would love to share about your app with my listeners, kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's a great way to go about it. The other thing that I feel like it's relevant to mention, because some people might be confused, like, what are they even talking about, podcast apps? So when it comes to the podcast player market, it's really fragmented. And a lot of podcasters don't necessarily realize this. They think that most people are just on Apple and Spotify and there's really nothing else. And that's absolutely not true. And in fact, most of these media buying and advertising opportunities we're talking about is with these outside independent players that are outside of Spotify and Apple. And so Apple makes up about 30 to 40% of the market. Spotify is about 20%. And then all other podcast listeners are listening on other apps like Google Play, CastBox, Overcast, Pocket Casts. You know, there's so many different apps. And now there's even international players that are really picking up steam, like iVoox in Ghana. iVoox is from Latin America. Ghana is in India. And there's even international players that we need to consider. And so one of the first things that you should do, even before you go try to get media buying or advertising opportunities, is to claim your podcast and make sure that you've submitted your podcast and your podcast is visible on all these apps. So if I was an upcoming podcaster, one of the first things that I would do is go take an inventory and go do a search and try to figure out all the big podcast players. They also call it user agents in the industry. Go find out every single user agent that you can, start a spreadsheet, and then start figuring out if your podcast is live on those platforms. And if it's not, submit it. And if it's not claimed, claim it so you can find your analytics. And then I would look for every single partner email, which is a great thing to search for, like marketing email, contact, partnership contact, try to get all those emails. And then I would send out an email campaign, basically what Katie just said, like, I'm looking to promote on your app. I'd love to collaborate. I want to get my listeners out there. What are your collaboration or paid opportunities? So that's what I would, those are some actionable steps that you can take as a podcaster to really make sure that you're visible on all these apps.
So I think it would be worthwhile. We're definitely getting some questions about some other ideas outside of this, some that might be more niche. So I would love to bring us back to just the general topic of promoting your podcast, growing your audience, right? I want to get into one that I is near and dear to my heart, and with it has worked very well with a small niche show. I know Elise, I think that's you asking that you have a small niche show. So it has worked well, both with my small niche show and for a large show and a large audience. And that's what I consider and call audience-centered growth. And there are two examples that I have here. It's basically honing in on your listener and inviting them into the experience in a way that benefits them and gives them reason to share about your show. So allowing your audience to be your promotional tool, allowing your audience to do promoting for you. So I'll give you two very specific examples of how I did this. So in my Biz Women Rock podcast, again, small niche show, you know, that show probably averaged about like 5,000 or 6,000 downloads a month. It was very successful for that niche. What I would do is I usually about like once a quarter, I had a whole series called live coaching sessions on the show. And I was a, you know, business coach and strategist. And so what I would do is I would put the word out to the whole community, including on the podcast, and say, if you want to apply to have, basically you get like a free 30-minute coaching session with me, we're going to go, it'll go live on the show. And so what it allowed me to do was, A, I put out kind of the submission form. I got all these folks back in there who would, you know, wanted to, you know, be featured on the show, wanted a live coaching call. I would record the calls with them. They basically got this, you know, great strategic session. This was twofold. On one fold, it fed my business very well because all of a sudden I had this beautiful list of people who were actually interested and now got to have a personal experience with my coaching and strategy. And many of those folks ended up becoming clients of mine. The other side of that, as far as actually promoting the podcast, is now they were featured. My audience themselves, the people who listened to my show, were now hearing themselves on the podcast. And they were then incentivized to go out and share about the podcast with their community of people who may or may not have heard about my podcast. So now I'm getting, you know, kind of the most loyal of my listeners to go out and share and basically spread the message. So I think that's a really cool way, kind of a grassroots way to do it. The way that that's worked in my current podcast, with a larger audience and four different podcasts, is I have a program called Share the Love. And right now it's been like once a quarter, basically I announce on all the shows like, hey, if you are sharing about this, if you love these meditations and you find yourself sharing about it, I want to thank you. Go here. And basically it's a very quick survey that they fill out asking them how, you know, how they're sharing, which show they're sharing about. And then of course I use it as a really great opportunity to find out more about them and why they're listening, where they found out about me, all that good stuff. And then I send them a gift. Like I gift them with, you know, either a little gift card or just something really nice and meaningful to basically say, thank you. Thank you for sharing. It means the world to me that you're sharing this. So now I've got my most loyal people who took the time to even go to that link, who are sharing about my show and out there basically as my extra marketing team out there marketing for me. So those are two kind of like out of the box ways that I have used to really do audience-centered growth. Hala, did you have something to add to that?
Yeah, sure. I can talk about social media growth and ways to kind of maximize social media. I do want to address something. One Man Podcast, I think, wants some definitions in terms of some of the technical terms that we were using. Mm-hmm. So I mentioned SEO. That means search engine optimization. And in the context of what we're talking about search optimization within the podcast app. So basically using keywords, for example, like business or real estate, or somebody mentioned they have a karate podcast. So maybe karate could be a keyword. Basically using keywords throughout all the text that you provide in your podcast page or channel to start to be searchable within the podcast app. So that's what SEO refers to. And then long tail keyword essentially means a keyword phrase. So, and if you want to rank for business, it's going to be very difficult because there's so many podcasts that have the word business in their materials and title, where if you decide to do something that's more specific, like business crisis management or something like that, then you have a higher chance of getting ranked because it's a more specific keyword. So that's what I meant by SEO and then long tail keyword. So hopefully that clears it up. Okay, so another thing that I want to talk about is social media. When it comes to social media, I found that the best way to promote your content is really through direct messages. And so one of the biggest tips that I have in terms of converting your social media following to podcast listeners is to retarget, which means re-message or connect with people who like and comment on any of your podcast micro content. So typically when you have a podcast, most podcasters will create little clips or audiograms or quote cards, and they'll use that to promote their podcast on social media. And most people leave it at that, right? They put it up on social media, they get a few likes, comments, and they kind of leave it at that. I advise you guys to take it to the next level, and anybody who likes or comments on your posts, send them a direct message and let them know about your show. Send them a direct link to your podcast and your podcast episode if you know how to use Chartable Smart Links, which could be for a more advanced session, but just send them any link to your podcast, perhaps a link tree that has all your different podcast buttons. Linktree is basically a landing page that you can create for free if you just go to linktree.com, or you could provide them your Podbean webpage link. And basically tell them, thank you so much for liking and commenting on my recent post. If you want to check out the full episode, here's the link. And you will be surprised how many people will engage with you, how many people will listen to your podcast, and especially ask them for feedback, bring them along your journey. And once they respond like, oh my gosh, I listened, I loved it, then you can ask them for a review. And so it's this really beautiful way of getting more reviews, getting more of an engaged community. And you have an added bonus because when you DM people or direct message people on social media apps, it also helps to make you more visible in their feed on these social media platforms because the algorithm basically signals that you're relevant to them and that you guys are friends. And so they'll start to even see your content more often because you DM'd them. So it's really important to close that loop and direct message anybody who engages on your podcast content. Katie, any tips for social media for you?
No, I'm going to leave that to you as the expert. I am very clear about my lanes, and that is not one. I have done it very successfully in the past. For example, in the past with my more niche podcast, I had a Facebook group. But again, that was 2014, 2015, 2016. Things are very different these days. But I would, you know, the thing that I would say is, I love the idea of using social media to further deepen the relationship of current listeners or more potential listeners, not necessarily just to, you know, like splatter about your show, although I have been guilty of doing that too. So it's not bad if that's what you're doing, but, you know, using one great social media strategy to go deeper with those who are listening or those who have the potential to live or to listen, I think goes a lot further than being on all the social media platforms with all the audiograms playing everywhere, but nothing's really happening.
Yes, totally agree. Okay, let's look at some of these questions. We got lots of questions. Yeah. Any tools you suggest for those little clips? I see them often, but not sure how they do it. So that's a great question. Some of the tools that you can use are Headliner is a really popular one. And typically people make audiograms on Headliner. Also, there's a app called Wave, W-A-V-V-E, I believe. And that's similar to Headliner. They just have like slightly different capabilities. And then a lot of people use Canva for their graphics, which is an amazing tool, especially if you have little graphic design experience. It's really great. And then people also use platforms like Fiverr, where for pretty inexpensive, they have video editors who specialize in taking your podcast videos and turning it into micro content. So those are some options for your tools. And then in terms of... Let's see what other questions there are.
There was a question from Hush Hush about how do you make your audience more engaged if you want to really dive deeper into having your audience really help you promote? So, you know, Hala, I know you're really good at this too, so you can definitely add in into this, but I would just say, you know, having the intention of speaking to your one listener is really important, and also literally like speaking to them, sharing with them who you are, so that when you make an ask and you say, hey, I'd love for you to go here and let me know about your experience. Like, I want to be the first to tell you after all these years of podcasting, like I have said that and no one has filled anything out. Like there have been those moments and that's okay. So I think it's just a practice of finding your own, what I like to call the asking voice. Like, you know, put your personality unabashedly into your podcast, into your show. Make sure that your one listener, the one person who's listening to that at that moment, feels like you're talking to them. And then practice making asks. Practice for small asks at first. Hey, I'd love to hear your feedback. Go here. Hey, if, in the very beginning of my first meditation podcast, I would put all the time on there. I'd say, hey, if you have a request for a type of meditation that you would love to hear, but you're not finding it here, email me here. I would directly give out my email. Email me here and let me know. You know, I would love to, you know, I would love to create something for you. And then in response, I would, when I would get a recommendation and I would write and record an email or a meditation for under, you know, whatever the recommendation was, I would actually say at the beginning of that show, hey, I want to thank so-and-so for requesting this meditation. I feel like a lot of women can really relate to this one. Thank you so much. And then I would make sure to go tell that person who recommended it and made the suggestion about it. And then they go and share. So, you know, it in my humble experience, it's really just, remembering that it's how powerful it is that that one person is listening and doing your best to engage that one person. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah. So I see another question here. This is from Elise Point. She says, thank you for the tips. I have a niche podcast about sport karate, which is not a mainstream sport. Are there any recommendations for more specific audiences or content? So Elise, my recommendation to you would be to go find all the different karate communities out there, whether there's a karate Facebook community, whether there is a karate business that's out there, maybe selling sports equipment or a YouTube channel or whatever it is. It could be a LinkedIn group. I would really go try to find all the different karate communities out there. And then I would try to find their contact information, whoever runs those pages, and I would try to collaborate with them. And I would basically ask them, hey, I'll promote you. If you promote me, let's figure out how we can play together and leverage each other's audiences. That is definitely the first place that I would start. And maybe this is a good transition, Katie, to talk about collaboration and the importance of collaborating with other podcasters and some of the things that we can do. Do you want to talk about some of the ways that you've collaborated with other podcasters?
Yeah, I mean, you know, specifically, it has been some of those other things that we had talked about before as far as those promo swaps. Oftentimes, in my early years with Biz Women Rock, I would find the other people who had similar audiences and had podcasts with similar audiences, and I would invite that host on my show as like kind of a holding my hand out first. And because you could have easily seen us as competitors, but I don't choose to look at life that way. And so I would be like, hey, I would love to have you on my show. And just if you have an interview show, it's a really good excuse to start a conversation and start a relationship. And so I really found having the interview show back then was such a great tool for me to just start relationships with people. And that could be a really great way for you to start those collaborations and see how you can help each other out. There have definitely been, I can tell a gazillion stories of, you know, people who, and not necessarily, you know, I can't think of like the exact example for me, but like I know so many examples of people who have had one person on their show, they like totally hit it off and their products or services are so similar and complementary that they end up like creating a course together. And so they co-create and co-market a course. You know, so the one example kind of within this arena recently, you know, my sleep meditation for women podcast is by far the biggest of all of my podcasts as of this moment. The putting people to sleep niche is pretty huge. And there are some major players in that space. And so there's one woman who I know who has the Snoozecast podcast, and we have just met each other through, you know, great podcasting events, like Podfest and just all these really great podcasting events. And so we got connected about a year or so ago, and we've just been, you know, back and forth sort of cohorts this whole time. And I reached out to her and I said, hey, how would you like to do an episode swap? So this is kind of in addition to just a promo swap. I said, could we do an episode swap? An episode swap is, hey, I will take one of my, you know, most successful meditations that I think would be appropriate for your audience, one of my sleep meditations, and you can have it. I'll give you the master file. You put whatever like intro you want on it. You give me one of your sleep stories. The Snoozecast is all sleep stories. And I'll put it on my show. I'll put it in my feed. And so now, we both basically did these little intros that sort of introduced why we're promoting this podcast. And if you like this, what you hear, here's an example. If you like what you hear, go subscribe to that show. And now that remains in my feed for this wonderful marketing opportunity for that show and vice versa. So they're both complimentary. I don't do sleep stories as of now, and she doesn't do sleep meditations. And yet somebody who listens to her show could be the perfect fit for mine and vice versa. So swap cast, I like that, hush, hush. So as far as collaboration goes, it all starts with the relationship, like really putting time and attention into building those relationships and truly having an attitude of collaboration, an attitude of abundance, and really believing that you could help each other out.
I completely agree. I think that especially in the podcaster community, it's really an independent movement. And that's why so many podcasters are okay to team up with each other. Most podcasters are not in a network, you know? And so creating these little networks on your own give you a significant advantage. So for example, some of the things that I did is LinkedIn was the primary channel in the beginning where I was promoting my podcast. So what I did is I searched every podcaster who had an engaged following on LinkedIn. I just reached out to them cold, started to connect with them, started to comment on their posts, making sure they knew who I was, and kind of extending an olive branch. And then I got smarter and was like, okay, maybe I need to put everybody in one place. So I decided to start a WhatsApp group. And on WhatsApp, you can create a group and you can actually get a link where you can send that link out to invite people to join your group. So it's a really easy way to get people to join a chat, basically, where you can communicate with each other. And so I put out a solicit and I said, hey, like, I'm an upcoming podcaster. I see that you're also making some noise. I would love to connect. Let's all get in this chat, support each other, support each other's links, collaborate, give each other tips. And then that evolved to me hosting a monthly mastermind call with all these podcast influencers. And I was really, really the glue that helped everybody stick together. And all of these podcasters started to look at me as this like master networker who built this community. And it really helped elevate me in my career as a podcaster. And so I really encourage everyone to be that glue. You know, don't be shy to reach out and be the one who actually starts the group. Not only just participate in these groups, but if you don't have it accessible to you or nobody has invited you, don't wait. You know, just go out and be that catalyst that brings everybody together. It will help you in so many different ways. I mean, I've learned so much from all these other podcasters. We give our tips and tricks. We support each other on Clubhouse now, which is another way to get listeners for your podcast, which we didn't touch on. And also just being available for interviews where, you know, you're interviewing on people's podcasts and vice versa, especially if you guys will cater to each other's audiences. So being open to guest interviews and doing swaps like that.
Love it. So before we end, I do want to talk about one strategy that has been a really massive strategy for me that's very much outside the box. And I think that it's worthwhile for anyone listening to take into consideration. So one thing that I did when I finally had like the Women's Meditation Network, I had these different podcasts, is I quite quickly went onto Insight Timer. So Insight Timer is one of the largest meditation apps. So it's not a podcast app, it's a meditation app. And so I went on to Insight Timer, was like, how can I be a teacher on here? How can I put my meditations here too? And over the course of time, I continue to put meditations there, and it has become a very consistent and really powerful way for people to be introduced to me there. There's no ad. I definitely, don't like, there's no ad. It doesn't sound exactly like my podcast because I have to fit into the norm of that particular app. And so that's been a really powerful way to gain listenership. I have a lot of people who tell me like, oh, I found you through Insight Timer, and now I, subscribe to all of your shows. So that's one. Another is Aura. Aura is another meditation app who approached me last year and said, hey, basically, can you be a teacher? Can you provide your meditations here? And that has been another really powerful way that I've been able to grow. These are all like non-podcast related, but I am creating content. And so I would encourage you, no matter what size your show is, no matter how niche or big your audience is, see if you can start finding out where, like within your industry, where are there big pools of people already? And can you go there? And is it possible for you to sort of be a regular contributor of content there in some way, shape, or form? Obviously, a meditation app is very specific. I already have meditations. I can just put them up there. But, another example is that one of our very good friends, Glenn the Geek, who has the Horse Radio Network, he has, oh my gosh, I don't know how many. I want to say he probably has about 8 different shows. He's a podcasting grandfather. He's been around forever. In his early years, he shared that he went to one of the largest, everything horse, right? Horse industry. So he went to one of the largest horse brands out there and basically said, hey, would you put our podcast player on your website? Therefore, we can be like a regularly updated piece of information, almost like a blog that can constantly be updating all of your people who come here. We have tons of content for them. And then boom, now his network gets the benefit of all those people coming to that website. And it made a massive, massive impression on his downloads and listenership. So start to think about like within your industry, not podcasting per se, but within your industry, where are there apps or places where your ideal listener already gathers, and can you be there?
Yeah, I think those are all really, really great points. Cool.
Those are all fantastic points. Sorry, this is Norma Jean from the Podbean team. We're going to jump in now. This session has been incredible. I have to say, I think almost everybody is asking about the replay because you guys jumped in and did not hold back with so many tips and strategies, around how to promote your podcast and really how to grow it. So thank you both so much. Wow. For everyone listening, the replay will be available later today. So probably later this evening, Eastern time. So if you check in tomorrow morning, you can have a listen again. Bookmark this one, everybody. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us for this live stream, promoting your podcast. Thank you, Hala. Thank you, Katie. Hala from the Young and Profiting Podcast and Katie Kremitzos from the Women's Meditation Network. If you joined late or you want to have another listen to these amazing podcasters and experts on promoting your podcast, you can replay this panel on the How to Start a Podcast Live channel. As I mentioned, it'll be up later this evening Eastern, so you can catch it in the morning. For those of you who may be joining us for the first time, How to Start a Podcast Live is a live streaming event with sessions just like this one, featuring top podcasters and podcasting experts from around the world together here on our live stream platform, Podbean Live, as we dive into production, promotion, editing, audience growth, live streaming, and more. You can replay any of the panels on the How to Start a Podcast Live channel and download the Podbean app and follow the channel to receive notifications in real time about all the live streams so you can ask your questions live and replays from the week. How to Start a Podcast Live is brought to you by Podbean. We're a podcast hosting and monetization platform and home to over 500,000 podcasts. And you can easily start a podcast at podbean.com or from our app here within minutes. We offer something for every podcaster and show, with options ranging from a free account to multiple show hosting to our enterprise platform for businesses and various podcast creation, monetization, and engagement tools. Head over to podbean.com to start your podcast today. And if you use the code PODNOW, you'll get your first 30 days free. That's PODNOW to get your first 30 days of hosting for free. Stay tuned for two more live streams today following this one. Just now, we're about to hop on the next one. So stay tuned. The next one is Women in Podcasting with Jess and Elsie from She Podcasts, which will be starting in 4 minutes. And News in Podcasting and Why You Should Care with James Cridland of Pod News at 5 p.m. Eastern. So we'll see you there next, podcasters. Thank you all so much for joining us for this amazing session. Thank you, Hala. Thank you, Katie. Thank you both so much. This was incredibly informative.
Thank you guys so much for having us.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Have a great day. Thanks, guys.